First, the rules of the General Assembly framed for the exclusion of all such as ought not to be employed in our armies are far more comprehensive. The rule is for employing of such only as are of a Christian and blameless conversation, which is turned over by their commissioners into a negative, all that are not notoriously profane or flagitious. Another is, for entrusting only these who have been of known integrity and constant friends to the cause of God from the beginning, which is also turned over into a negative, all that have not been constant enemies. All such, by the answer, are capable of some trust and employment. The rules agreed upon by the Assembly, and ratified by Act of Parliament, Anno 1649, and renewed upon occasion of this invasion, were that no officer nor soldier that followed James Graham should be permitted in the army, nor any officer that was in the engagement, except such as, upon real evidence of repentance, were particularly recommended by the church, nor any common soldier, but upon sufficient testimony of his repentance. Now, since it is proved that the most part of all such continue still malignants, and retain their old principles, and that the bulk and body of the people are called forth by the public resolution, without such exceptions, as were conceived before necessary, for the exclusion of that party, it follows clearly that the malignant party is not accepted in the present resolutions. Second, few of these who were in the late rebellion, and declared, not many days since, to be following a most malignant design and course, are contained under these exceptions, because very few of them are excommunicated or forfaulted, and though more of them be indeed flagitious and profane, yet very few of them will fall under the compass of the exception, notoriously flagitious. Many wicked things will be said to concur to make up a profane man. Some acts will not serve, a habit must be demonstrated, and though that were showed, yet there must be also a notoriety of it, which imports a man to be famous for looseness and profanity, and there are none almost, if any in the land, who have been professed enemies from the beginning, and continue so to this day. James Graham was not such. It is the matter of our sad complaint, that whilst many are enemies, they make profession and semblance of friendship. Third, these exceptions do not comprehend any who are under censure for malignancy or profanity, except such as are under the sentence of excommunication, and that even such may not be excluded, lest the rule be transgressed, by admitting and employing excommunicated persons. 'Tis withal resolved that these persons shall be relaxed from that sentence, that so they may be immediately in the same capacity of employment with others, whatever formerly hath been their opposition or defection. Some exceptions must be made, for honesty and credit's sake. But the nearest and readiest way is taken to make them ineffectual. Fourth, these exceptions do not only not reach these who were upon the unlawful engagement and have not, as yet, given sufficient proof of their abandoning their malignant principles and courses, but come not the length of comprehending these men of blood who followed James Graham and in the most barbarous and cruel way, shed the blood of their own brethren and God's people. Because the most part of these are not excommunicated nor forfaulted, nor notoriously flagitious and profane, nor such as have from the beginning been, and still are enemies. If any will say, that such are comprehended under these exceptions, why did the commission express the exceptions in such terms, as to men's common apprehension do not include many, especially seeing there are known rules, particular and distinct, without ambiguity, and seeing there is such a propension in rulers to employ all without difference, which would undoubtedly take advantage of anything that seemed to look that way? It is likewise manifest that the second part of the answer, relating to the capacity of acting, is loaded with the same inconvenience. 1. There is no positive determination of the qualifications of persons to be entrusted, as in former times it was agreed on by the assembly and their commissioners, but that is now referred to the discretion of the Parliament, together with such diminutive terms, as give them great latitude to go upon. Before, no trust was given to such persons. Now, it is allowed they shall have some trust, and how much is not determined, nor what degree of it is prejudicial to the cause, which it appears, the Parliament's proceedings in nomination of officers unquestioned by the Commission, is a good commentary to expound that they may have any trust, except to be general officers. 2. Our former established rule was, that no persons should be entrusted, but such as are of known integrity, and have been constant friends of the cause. But how far is this diminished? They who are such, only recommended to be especially taken notice of. Less could not be said by any. More ought to have been said by the Commission. And though no such notice be taken of such by the Parliament, but on the contrary, those who have been most faithful, and suffered in the late defeat at Hamilton, are used as enemies, worse than malignants in former times, yet there is no testimony given against such things. Quandam mutatus obilo coedici quandam fuit. Before we enter upon the chief question, we offer these manifest and known truths to consideration. 1. The occasion of contriving and subscribing first the national covenant, and then the solemn league and covenant, was the designs and practices of the popish, prelatical and malignant party, against religion and the work of reformation in these kingdoms. 2. Since the contriving and subscribing of the same, it hath been the continual endeavor of that party sometimes by undermining and sometimes by open opposition to undo the same and to bear down all those that clave honestly thereto and faithfully prosecute all the ends thereof. 3. That there hath been these many years past and still is, such a party, in all the three kingdoms, considerable for number, power, and policy. 4. That party hath always prosecuted their design under a color of zeal and respect to the king's authority and interest. 5. That party hath always been the authors and abettors of much bloodshed, many miseries, and sad calamities to these nations. 6. That the people of God in these kingdoms have taken upon themselves a most solemn and sacred bond of an oath and covenant to discover them and bring them to condign punishment. 7. That it hath been one of the predominant sins of Scotland under the bond of the covenant to comply with them. 8. That indignation and wrath from the Lord hath been following that party and their designs these years past. 9. That compliances with them hath always been cursed to us of God. 10. That few of that party do really abandon and forsake their corrupt principles and way and join cordially in the cause and covenant. 11. That many of them do, after the profession of their repentance for their opposition to the cause and covenant of God, relapse frequently into the same sin. 12. That sudden receiving of many of them to fellowship and trust, and too great credulity in believing their professions hath often cost this land very dear. 13. That upon consideration of the deep treachery and hypocrisy of these men, and the sad consequences following upon sudden receiving of them without evidence of a change, after long and renewed experience, this land renewed their obligations more strictly in the solemn engagement. 14. That there hath been a design driven these 2 years past to get that party again in power and trust. 15. That this design hath been testified against by the public resolutions of the judicatories unto this time. 16. That, as it hath been driven at very cunningly and actively, by many instruments and arguments of several sorts, so hath it gained ground piece and piece, until at length many of them are brought into the court and to the army and judicatories in the country. And now by the public resolutions they are generally to be employed and entrusted. Thus the design is accomplished. But, 17. These men do not satisfy themselves with some degree of power, but endeavor to engross the whole power of the kingdom into their own hands, and study to bring into contempt, and call out these who have been and do continue constant in the cause of God. 18. That having power into their hands, they must act according to their own principles and for establishing their own ends. And lastly, that these principles and ends are destructive to the covenant and work of reformation. Section 3. That the employing of, and associating with the malignant party, according, as is contained in the public resolutions, is sinful and unlawful. If there be in the land a malignant party of power and policy, and the exceptions contained in the act of levy do comprehend but few of that party, then there need be no more difficulty to prove that the present public resolutions and proceedings do import an association and conjunction with a malignant party, than to gather a conclusion from clear premises. But that such a conjunction is in itself sinful and unlawful, and besides, a violation of our solemn oaths and engagements, a backsliding from our principles and professions, and a walking contrary to the whole tenor and current of our former resolutions and practices, is now to be made manifest. First we reason from that constant, standing and perpetual rule, which the Lord gives concerning the modeling and carnage of the armies of his people in all their wars, Deuteronomy 23:9, when the host go forth against their enemies, then keep thee from every wicked thing. And after, if there be among you any man that is unclean, by reason of uncleanness that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, he shall not come within the camp. If for ceremonial uncleanness he was to be excluded, much more for moral, as our divines reason from the Old Testament in the point of excommunication, and if for uncleanness not voluntary, much more for voluntary wickedness. The reason of all is given verse 14, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of the camp, to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. Even, as they would expect a blessing of the Lord, so ought they to keep their camp holy, as he is holy. He gives not such a strict rule for the competency of number, as for the qualifications of the persons, as being the principal thing. Therefore the present conjunction with so many ungodly and wicked men, that have formerly declared themselves enemies to God and his people, and to this day give no evidence to the contrary, is sinful and unlawful. Second, the Lord hath frequently in Scripture declared his dislike and hatred of such associations and conjunctions. The Scripture cited in the General Assembly's declaration in the year 1648, against the engagement, are sufficient proof of this. We shall take the argument, as it is formed by the commissioners of that assembly, in their answer to the observations of the Committee of Estates upon the Assembly's declaration, page 7. Every engagement in war, that is pretended to be for religion, and hath in it a confederacy and association with wicked men, enemies of true religion, is sinful and unlawful. But the present engagement in war, as it is held forth in the public resolutions, is pretended to be for religion, and yet hath in it a confederacy and conjunction with wicked men, and enemies of true religion. Ergo, the second proposition is evident from the two first sections. The first proposition is proved from those scriptures forementioned. God forbade conjunctions and confederacies with the enemies of his cause and people, not only the Canaanites, Exodus 34:12-15, Deuteronomy 7:2, and other heathens, such was Asa his covenant with Ben-Hadad, 2 Chronicles 16:2-10, Ahaz his confederacy with the king of Assyria, 2 Kings 16:7-10, 2 Chronicles 28:16, but also with wicked men of the seed of Abraham, as Jehoshaphat's with Ahab, 2 Chronicles 18:3 And Ahab king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war, compared with chapter 19:2. And Jehu the son of Hanan the seer, went out to meet him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldst thou help the ungodly, and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord, and with Ahaziah. 2 Chronicles 20:35 And after this did Jehoshaphat king of Judah join himself with Ahaziah king of Israel, who did very wickedly, which being reproved for, he would not again join with Ahaziah. 1 Kings 22:49 Then said Ahaziah the son of Ahab unto Jehoshaphat, Let my servants go with thy servants in the Shisham, but Jehoshaphat would not. And then Amaziah's association with 100,000 of Israel, 2 Chronicles 25:7-10 But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was to come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again, wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. The sin and danger of such associations may further appear from Isaiah 8:12-13, Say ye not, a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Jeremiah 2:18 And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Psalm 106:35. But were mingled among the heathen, and learned their works. Hosea 5:13. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jerob, yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. And chapter 7 verses 8 and 11. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And if we should esteem God's enemies our enemies, and hate them with perfect hatred, how can we then join with them as friends? Psalm 139:21. The committee of estates at that time endeavored to elude the strength of these scriptures, and vindicate their engagement from the falling within the compass of them. But the commission of the assembly that year took the mask off their evasions. Would to God we had no other party to deal with now. It was the evil and complaint of that time, that church and state were divided. But what an evil time are we now fallen into, that the union of those in this point, is the complaint of many of the godly. The commission, in their letter to Stirling Presbytery, sets up the committee's answer in a new dress, and holds it out for satisfaction to our consciences. All that is answered may be reduced to 3 or 4 heads. 1. There is made a great difference between an invasive and defensive war, as if in the one, choice of instruments ought to be sought, but in the case of just and necessary defense, all subjects may be employed. To which we answer, 1. that the scriptures cited conclude most expressly against conjunctions of that kind in defensive wars. Such was Asa's covenant, such was Ahaz his confederacy. Were not the reproofs of the prophets directed particularly against the people seeking of help from Egypt and Assyria, in the case of their own just and necessary defense? Jeremiah 2:18, Hosea 5:13, and 7:8 and 11, Isaiah 8:12 and 13, 2 Chronicles 16:2 verse 10. 2. The law and rule given, Deuteronomy 23, is general, regulating all their wars, whether defensive or offensive, and it is strange that any should imagine such a difference, where the law makes none, nay, when the ground of the law is moral and general, equally respecting all wars. Is there any ground of conscience why wicked persons may not be kept in the camp when we invade others, and yet these may be employed and entrusted when we defend ourselves? If there be any reason to prefer the one to the other in this point, we conceive defensive war should have the preference, because, when the Lord brings upon us an unjust invasion, he is ordinarily pursuing a controversy against us. And therefore we ought to be most tender and circumspect, that there be no unclean thing in the camp, and put away every wicked thing from us, even the appearance of evil, lest we add oil to the flame of his indignation, and he seeing such an unclean thing in us, turn yet further from us, except we say, that we need not take care to have God in the camp with us, when we are upon just and necessary defense, seeing our cause is so good. 3. There is more hazard and danger to our religion and liberties in having a wicked malignant army at home among us, than abroad in another nation. While they are here, they have the power of the sword, and can command all, but there might be some hope and endeavor for vindicating our own liberties and religion, while they are abroad, as it fell out in the time of the engagement. 2. It is answered, that there is a difference between this case and the engagement, because there was then no necessity of choosing such instruments, a competency of power might be had. But now it is not so, and therefore the scriptures mentioned do not militate against the present case. Answer 1. The scriptures cited will obviate this. What made Israel and Judah run to Egypt and Assyria for help, but their weakness and necessity? Their wound was incurable, and their bruise grievous, as Jeremiah often laments, and particularly chapter 8 verses 20-22. And chapter 10 verse 19, and see, and yet this did not excuse them for going to Egypt or Assyria to heal their wound, Hosea 5:13, and 7:8 and 11. The scripture holds out infidelity and distrust in God, as the ground of such association, 2 Chronicles 16:7-9, Isaiah 8:12 and 13, which proceeds from the incompetency of means as the occasion of it. 2. Suppose there was a necessity for the calling forth the body of the common people, yet certainly there is no necessity of employing any such persons of whom the question is, and putting them in places of trust. There is none can deny but there are, besides all secluded persons, many that might fill the places of trust and power. Therefore the plea of necessity is but a pretense to cover some design, that under its specious and plausible covering, the power of the land may be engrossed into the hands of malignants, and so by this means all power and trust may return, as the rivers to the sea or fountain, as they judge the king, that so in his person there may be established an unlimited and arbitrary power. 3. Necessity is a very plausible argument and strong plea to carnal reason for anything, but it cannot be a good ground, in point of conscience, for that which is sinful in itself. Now that this is sinful in itself appears, from the word of God simply condemning such associations, upon moral, and so general and perpetual grounds. Now, in such a case of necessity, we are called either to trust in God, in the use of competent means, seeing in such cases we have so many promises, or, if all help be gone which God allows us to make use of, we must wait on Him till He brings salvation with His own arm. But because the plea of necessity is the strongest that is made use of for the present public resolutions, we must consider it a little more. It is alleged that the best part of the land is under the feet of the enemy, and so no help can be had from it, and for other parts of the land which are yet free, there is not much choice of persons, and the testimony of faithful men in the state declares that when all that are called forth of these places are gathered, it cannot amount to a power competent enough, and therefore in such a question of the existence of second means, the knowledge whereof immediately depends on sense and experience, these who are not acquainted should give credit to the testimony of faithful witnesses, and that a competency of power must be had, according to the ordinary way of providence, in relation to which we must act, except we would tempt God by requiring of Him wonders. Answer. Suppose the enemy's army to consist of 20,000 or above, are there not more fencible persons in the shires on the north side of Forth? Believe it who please, we cannot stop our own consciences, and put out our own eyes. Let the rolls of several shires be looked to, and it shall confute that testimony. Nay, are there not more persons not formerly secluded, in all those shires? What meant the levy appointed immediately after Dunbar? Was not 10,000 foot, and 1,400 horse put upon these shires which are not under the power of the enemy, and yet the rules of exclusion were not abandoned? Now all these, or most part of them, are yet in the country not levied. Money was taken instead of men, the levies obstructed, so that there was little addition to the strength of the forces that remained, the forces diverted by the insurrection of the malignants in the north, at the king's command or warrant, all which hath such pregnant presumption of a design carried on to necessitate the kingdom to employ that party, by the cunning politicians of the time, by obstructing the levies, raising the malignants, and then pacifying them by an act of indemnity, and at last openly and avowedly associating with them. Thus the design is accomplished which was long since on foot. 2. If satisfying courses had been studied by the public judicatories to carry on all the godly in the land with their resolutions, there had accrued strength from the parts of the land be south forth, which would have compensated all that competency of power that the conjunction of the malignants makes up, and, it may be, would have been more blessed of God. 3. If there be no help required nor expected from those parts of the kingdom be south forth, wherefore did the commission write to the presbyteries in those bounds that they might concur actively in their stations for the furtherance of the levies, and choose ministers to go out with them? 3. It is answered that the confederacies reproved were unlawful, because they were either with heathens, or with idolaters, strangers, and foreigners. This is answered to the case of Amaziah, and see, and so it seems not to make against the present case, the employing all subjects in the just and necessary defense of the kingdom.